Rampage 215.
Which are you doing? Psa first, or you doing something else?
I'm going to do Pura first from the Book of Shemos. Because this week is Parshas Pura. And we'll be on, first use the Sefer Shemos, Chelek, and we're on page 215. Page 215. Okay. It's on the right column on the top. Page 216. Mm-hmm. Want to take that one, Nissan, and then you can look on. Josh, want to give that to Nissan? You can look on with Arnie. You guys can look at that.
That's for you, Chris. I was last week I brought two, but I didn't this.
Right.
What's the point?
Top one.
What year are you in?
We're in the year Tuf Reish Lamed Aleph, and it's the last mimer of Tuf Reish Lamed Aleph for Parshas Pura. Page 215, top right column. Adoni Avi Zikeni Mori V'Rabbi Zal, he says in the name of his grandfather, the Rin, Higid. Ama Shohaya Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom Mem Yomim Shneim Bahor. How come Moshe Rabbeinu had to spend 40 days on the mountain again when it came to receive the Torah, the second Luchos? Afsha kavar kibo b'mem yamim harishonim. Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu already receive the Torah when he spent the first 40 days up on the mountain? So, okay, even if we say he had to spend 40 days to daven for Klal Yisrael, but in addition to that, there was another 40 days where he had Kabbalah Satorah again. Why was that necessary? He already did that the first time. Well, Omar, so the Rim said, Shehu ki'inyan, it's according to this concept, b'makom shabali teshuva omdin, in the place where those people who have done tshuva stand, even tzadikim gemurim, even completely righteous people, cannot stand. Meaning that there was a new kind of Kabbalah HaTorah that was necessary. The first luchos were before the Chet HaEgel, the second luchos was after the Chet HaEgel, and this was a kind of Kabbalah HaTorah that was based on tshuva. Now, if you remember from last week's mimer, we saw that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sin. So, how is it no gad to him? He's going to touch on
that. That would be a good slogan for the shul, put on the letterhead, stuff like that.
Therefore, his receiving of the Torah now, the second time, was in a different way. It wasn't the same Torah that he got this time. It was actually a different kind of Kabbalah HaTorah based on Teshuva. Ad Kan Devarav, that's the lesson from the Rim. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu did not sin, because he wasn't involved in the Chet HaEgel, he was Apich Kibol B'Bechinas Baal Teshuva. So therefore, how could he have received the Torah? In this, Emes Ki Klal Yisrael Nogeya L'Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom Gam Rabbeinu. You can't separate these things. And if Klal Yisrael themselves were involved in a truly sin with them, but he was affected by what they did and something changed in reality, have a different kind of Kabbalah HaTorah too?
So you don't need to be a Baal Teshuva to be a Rebbe.
Right, Kabbalichet. Now he adds, even though that it is shayach for there to Purim, that Teshuva doesn't have to be that a person did something wrong, possible to do Teshuva even without a Chet. Because what it really means is the returning of one's life back to its source. So one who hasn't done tshuva, I'm sorry, one who hasn't sinned, is still striving to reach closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to restore the life to his soul, to return his neshama closer and closer to its source in Shemayim. That's called tshuva. So this hachzoras Hachiyus l'sharasho, the return of one's life to its source, that teshuva is nogeya even to a person who has not sinned. It means getting closer and closer, returning to God. V'hu b'chinas pora, and this is the concept of pora, pora aduma, the red cow, shahu habitul, because it is bitul, its total nullification, subordination to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And the more one is mevatel themselves to Hashem, the greater that teshuva is, the closer they are, even without a chet. It kind of gives us an idea as to why the Purim was reduced to ash. because the idea is that it's a concept of bitul, of taking something down to its most basic element, so it was burned. And bitul is taking a person down to its most basic element, the life that comes to them from Hashem. Now just another connection there, because chet and death are hard to separate, because the reason we are mortal is Adam and Chava were chote, they sinned in Gan Eden. So chet and death have a lot to do with each other. At the same time, let's say a child is born into the world, he's innocent, hasn't done anything wrong. That child is still mortal. Why? They didn't do anything wrong. So one is the idea that all people are connected. Human beings were affected by that faith. And the other is this, that even a person who has not sinned has the human condition that they have to struggle with and to strive to return to where Adam and Chava were before the chet. If you have someone who doesn't sin, they actually live their life without sin, like Binyamin and other tzaddikim, Amram, they still have to strive to rise above the human condition of chet, which is based upon the chet of Adam and Chava. And that's returning to the state of people, kodem hachet. That kind of tshuva is also shayach, I'm just adding to this, even if one hasn't sinned, there's a striving to get beyond where Adam and Chava were, or before they were chotem.
So how do we understand the distinction between those tzaddikim who actually then have misa, who do die, maybe the, you know, their body doesn't decompose or whatever it is, and those who are like Enosh or like Eliyahu HaNavi,
right,
that are just sort of taken into Shemayim.
Right. They rose even higher.
That's an even higher Madrega. So to speak, even the tzaddikim gemurim who never sinned, they still have sort of a sheiches with misa in some in some fashion.
Right.
So even if you die and your body doesn't decompose, but still they have a sheiches of misa.
Right. They're human, whereas, and there was a chet, and there was something still there connected. That's called dying be'itil shel nachash, that they die because of the eitzah of the nachash, because of the bite of the snake. And that's why they have to die. Not that they've done anything themselves deserved of that, but it's still part of the human condition. Whereas Eliyahu HaNavi even rose above that.
And is that, do we consider that there are higher madrigas even than that?
If there are, I'm not aware of what what that would be. So
get that information on a need-to-know basis.
Right. Even Moshe had shankless things.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, you're saying because of what it says here, that what Klal Yisrael did affected him, you mean?
Is that what he's saying? That he still has the ability to do tshuva due to the fact that he's mortal?
You know, I don't know, because we don't know much about Moshe Rabbeinu's death. Right? He died, Hashem buried him.
Right.
He didn't have death the way, you know, most people do. Yaakov Avinu lo meis. It looked like he died, but he really didn't. Moshe Rabbeinu is also mentioned. Now, was it Bechinas Eliyahu? I would have to assume that it was. That Hashem took him and
a bit, like...
Yeah. But if that's a mistake, if that's not correct, then maybe it is this connection to Klal Yisrael, you know, which is not a bad thing, it's a good thing, but that connection that would bring Misa upon him. But I'd have a hard time thinking that Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not rise above that. I don't have a proof for that, but that's just my own
thought. That's a thought.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
But then again, that line of reasoning that other people, later generations, achieved higher levels. So to say, well, it's much more, but the previous generations also had such levels. I don't know, that very well could be true, but it seems that you end up having a difficult situation.
It's not so much that, the Yeridas Hadoros, because in Eliyahu's door, you know, you still had Eliyahu HaNavi, you had Naveen, the Ruah was Shaya. The Yeridas Hadoros had not reached the point, you know, where we are now. You know, it's worlds and apart. It's not really that really makes me hesitate to say that. It's because it was Moshe Rabbeinu. it's not his door and the time between him and Eliyahu, Hanavi. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. There's something about him, it's hard for me to conceive that he would have died in the same way that even those great tzaddikim who died the Itil Shel Nefesh died. It seems to me that he would have gone above that because of who he was. His unique level in Nevuah. He was up 40 days in Shemayim without eating, without drinking. It's hard for me to see that he would succumb to death in that way. It's something to think about. I'm not sure. Yeah.
The expression is what? The Itil Shel
Nefesh? The Itil. Ayin Tes Yod Vav with the Eitzo.
It's a phrase from the Zohar?
From the Gemara.
From the Gemara?
Yeah. I think it's 10. Is it 10 or 5 who died by Itil Shel Nefesh? Do you guys remember? I forgot. A handful of people who died by Itil Shel Nefesh.
But that's not Eliyahu.
No, because he wrote above that. Right. I think David HaMelech's father.
Yishai
and Amram and Binyamin from the Shvat, and those are the three that I remember.
Who else went the way of Eliyahu?
I know of Eliyahu and Hanav.
Right.
It's mentioned that Basia did, the daughter of Parvati Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. I've never saw that in writing, but I've heard that many times.
Pinchas was Eliyahu.
Right.
And that could be that I was a Gilgal.
Right.
But it wasn't that he lived for 1,000 years, but his neshama was a good one earlier. Nisan?
Did the tablets, first and second set of Lukos,
right.
Did each of those contain two entirely different Torahs or two entirely different sets of Aseres Dibros?
It really was the Dibros, the first and the second, were a little different. No, because the
that we see in right
the writing is a little different, right?
They're written differently,
right?
But I'm wondering if two entirely different Torahs were contained.
This forum seems to say
I don't want to
quite use that lashon that they were entirely different Torahs. The Torah is the Torah, but the Torah can take different forms based on how people act. Meaning that the first Torah that we got, Kabbalah Satorah, the Luchos Rishonos, Kodem Chet HaEgel, that was of a certain nature, and the second one was had a different nature to it.
Right.
The reason I don't want to say it's different is because I don't want to make it sound like Hashem changes the Torah.
Right.
It's the same Torah, but it just applies or it flows differently before the Chet and after the Chet. An expansion of that. When we received the Torah at Har Sinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, the Malachim argued that the people shouldn't receive Torah. They said, it's Chayach to us, not to you. So Moshe Rabbeinu answered, what do you mean? You eat? It says, Lo Savash al Gedi B'chalayim. You eat Basar B'chalav? You left Mitzrayim? So what were the Malachim saying? Somehow Torah does apply to Malachim too.
You arrange the letters.
There's a form for them, right. So the same Torah, but it formulated differently in Luchos Rishonos than to Luchos Shnios, so based on doing Shuva.
So the first edition of the Torah really applied to the people that weren't truly mortal.
They reached the Madrega Vadim and Tava Kodem HaChei. That's right. And the second Torah, which really is our Torah,
right?
That is based on the ability to do tshuva.
I think that, I'm trying to remember who brings down that it was an act of infinite compassion on Hashem's part that the Luchos were broken.
Were broken.
And remade in a form that was usable.
Right. And that's how some understand that. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that those Luchos were no longer, you know, consistent with the people. They became heavy in his hands.
Nor could they be eternally adhered to.
Right. And they said that the letters, you know, the luchos broke and the letters flew up. So the Torah is still there. It didn't go away. Right. But then it came reformulated. Yes, Mark?
I have a question. This is new revelation to me about the Malachim. For the Luchos Rishonim, since they don't have, you know, the same level of responsibility, so, did he really have free
They do not have Bechira. No, they don't. And that's how Moshe answered them, that the Torah that has to do with freedom of choice, that's our world. That's not relevant to you.
Yeah.
What the Malachim were talking about was some level of Torah that pertains to Malachim. And it doesn't have to do with freedom of choice. That stayed in their realm, but the Torah of freedom of choice, that came down to our realm.
So do we consider this distinction between the two luchos, kodem the shivim panim l'Torah, that the shivim panim l'Torah is something that really, even in this level of Torah, that's something that comes after it, or do we consider these two of the 70
interesting question. It could
phases.
Be that those are two of the 70, right? Mm-hmm. And that the one before the Luchos Rishonos was one phase, and the Luchos Shmios is another phase. Or maybe each of the two have the Shiva Panim. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Interesting question. Yes,
the idea of the Torah being different for the Malachim.
Yes.
Just tell me that shouldn't really be as striking for me as it was. Because everything in this Olam is a manifestation from something that was on a higher one, from the higher and from higher one. So just as, you know, this chair has its counterpart
in Rukhnius,
so to the Torah.
Right.
And then what was Moshe saying?
Moshe was coming from the world of Asiyah, and they're coming from the world of...
What was he saying to them?
Yeah.
He was saying you're
that the Torah that has to do with Bechira is not nogea to you. You didn't leave Mitzrayim, you don't need... This Torah has nothing to do with you. This Torah is a Torah of Bechira.
He asked them specifically about Basra B'Cholav, right?
I think it was either Basra B'Cholav or non-kosher food. It was one of those two
they
things.
They were over on that by Avraham Avinu because they...
Right. According to one opinion, because others say that they didn't really eat, it just appeared like they ate.
But Moshe was saying to them, you even made an appearance like that, so what's the shakas of this Torah to you? We're going to try to keep the Torah out.
Moshe would still have a question of Marasayan by the Malachim.
that's why we need an emotional beta to defend us.
What does it mean when it says Kodim Shinishtaleh Bilamazah?
I'm gonna read that right now. The last three lines. V'nikra teshuva. So why is this called shuva if a person hasn't sinned and they're returning to their source? Shechozer hachiyuth likamo shahoya kodim shinishtaleh bolam hazeh. That they are returning their life to the way that it was before it was sent to this world. Seems to be saying that, you know, the neshama is sent down into Olam Hazeh,
right.
Destined to come into a goof.
Mm-hmm.
It had a certain life up there before it was bound to a goof. And we're constantly trying to reconnect the neshama back to its shorish before it was sent down here into this world. That's the mashal of the, you know, Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that a flame is always surging upwards. And the Shama also, you know, it's tied to the wick, which is the goof, but it's always surging upwards.
So the teshuva is really always trying to get to that state before, you know,
Masa. Right.
But he's also saying, like, that tshuva, if the person, the tshuva, the shaykh without a chait, is saying, here, I'm returning the neshama without a pagam.
Yes.
That there, it has no defect on it. It's like, you know, it's like the way you gave it to me.
Right.
Tahorahi.
Right. It's actually even greater because the neshama that does mitzvahs in this world becomes more radiant. So we're returning a greater neshama than actually we were sent down with, which is the whole topic of being in the world.
What about the Averis?
That we have to do tshuva for.
No, but I mean, don't those also...
Those don't stick, though. Either tshuva or onesh, those are like layers, you know, but they're not intrinsically part of us. So the good, the tov, is eternal, it's intrinsic, it endures, that stays. The ra, which we collect along the way because we're here, that's washed away, either by tshuva or by onesh.
Mm-hmm.
And we're only left, in Trias and Mason, we're only left with tov. The Ra is only temporary.
Someone who says Kula Russia, their neshama eventually
Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba.
Right.
We don't say the same thing if it's not a Yisrael. Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba.
What about? Isn't there another half of the Mishnah?
The Pri Tzadik actually learns that the only one which is mentioned there who truly does not have the Chelek is Bilam. He learns it in the lesson of the Mishnah. I'll see if I can find it, if I remember where it is.
I thought it was Gekazi, Achitofel, and...
But they're all Jews except for Bilam.
Oh.
And he is the one mentioned, and he is Medayik from the way the Mishnah writes it, that it's only him who truly doesn't have the Chelek, and the other ones he learns differently.
This is a good lawyer. Got a lawyer you want.
I mean, if you look at the quick meaning of the Mishnah, it certainly doesn't come across that way. But that's how he learned it.
Yeah.
Let me just take the last line. Kamo kol tshuva al chait, like any tshuva for a chait, shechozeli kamo shehayakodim al chait. So he says there's a parallel here. A chait enters, a person changes. Tshuva means now I'm going to get back to where I was before the chait. I'm going to rise above that. What about if there's no chait? That means I'm going to rise above Olam Hazeh to get beyond the human condition of this world. So there is a parallel between Chet and the human condition. Tshuva is getting back to the way it was. I don't really want to say before. I prefer to say above. It's above where we have come down to. Before is different. We're not really trying to get to who were before. That's a journey that might not have a good... place, because we're always growing. We're going forward. Yeah. It's above. Yeah, it's above.
Once you enter the spiritual realm, linearity.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but because then you could have the pachad, you'd have to go through it again.
I guess take a look at Sav. If you get a chance, take a look at the Maori Nayim on Parshas Sav. And he has a mimer there about breaking through to the inner part of Torah. Yeah. It's the second part of the Mori Naim and Parshat Tzav. If you get a chance to look at it, take a look at it. It's very misunderstood.
Also, the first Or Gedal Yahu for Parshas Parah is a beautiful, beautiful explanation of the whole sugya of Tahara and Tuma. It's very, very deep.
Okay, let's see. It's before Pesach.
Before Shabbos
Haggadah.
Right after Parshas Chodesh.
Okay. And so next week, the Vas Hashem, you only have to bring Chelek Vayikra.
Who's made it?
Take a look at the first mimer in Parshas Tzav. Page 21. The very first mimer of Parshas Tzav. Zos Torah Sa'ola. This is the Torah of the Ola. Then the Parsha continues. Zos Torah Sa'chatas. This is the Torah of the Chatas. Of the Asham, etc. The Chazal Lamdu Mizeh, the Chachamim learned from this lesson of the Torah. Ha'osek v'toras ola ki'ilu hikriv ola. A person who involves themselves with the Torah of a korban ola, it's as if he offered a korban ola. So they learned it from Zos Toras ola. Nira, it appears to me, ki ha'machuvan meha korban hu. What is the real intent of the korban when it's offered? Halimud v'hatoeles sheyotzei la'adam mehakorban. What a person learns and the insight he gains from offering that korban. A person brings a korban in the Beis HaMikdash to Hashem. What do we learn from it? What do we gain from it? What's the lesson? What's the toeles? So the objective of the korban, he says, is what we learn from the korban. Ubezor HaKodesh, it says in the Zohar, Eshtam etukad, it says there's an ongoing fire that's burning. ki aveira mechaba mitzvah. The Chachamim say that an aveira can extinguish a mitzvah, the lo Torah. The Torah cannot be extinguished by an aveira. Ayin shan. Hapirish. Explanation. Koach mitzvah hu hiskashrus vihistabkus. The koach of a mitzvah is a connection and being bound. The Sforim say the word mitzvah is like the lashon of tzavsa, litzavot, which means to bind together. Shekol mitzvah medabe ka'odem bo yisbara. That the mitzvah connects a person to Hashem. Ulezos, aveira mekalkel. And on this relationship, an aveira can be destructive. Umastik hachibur, it could undo the connection. Umechabe, aveira, devekus ha-mitzvah. And it can extinguish the closeness that the mitzvah has provided. So the mitzvah draws us close to Hashem, and the aveira can undo that closeness. Avol, however, Torah hi bechinas kabbalah. Torah has to do with receiving, absorbing something, meaning it's becoming a part of you. Sheha'adam lomed u'mekabel la'atzma. When a person learns something and takes it in, it becomes part of themselves. It's not that they're connected to something outside themselves, but it's become part of them. Shenichnasin bo divrei Torah, v'zeh lo yuchol lihibatol. The words of the Torah have entered and it's become a part of them. And this cannot be nullified. What becomes part of the person cannot be nullified. Al yidei aveira, by a sin. Ki kavar nidbakin bo divrei Torah shekibo kanal. Because the words of the Torah, they're already in and part of them. And they can't be disrupted. So therefore, a mitzvah whose power, according to this mimer, is not as great as the Torah, that can be. You notice he says, however, just to make a little deal, the closeness is disrupted. Right? It sounds to me that the mitzvah is still there, and that when it comes to eternal things, that's going to be there. The tshuva is going to, you know, find its way in and restore that. Whereas with Torah, even that, the aveira doesn't take away the closeness, because it's part of the person. You can't take that away. U'mesayim Hashem b'zohar HaKadosh, ki tamirei chachamim ha'osen mitzvos lishma, u'mekablen limud v'derech tshuva lidabek bo yisbarach, mikol mitzvah sha'osen imken gam ha'mitzvah shalehem Torah, ve'en aveira mechaveh. He says, tremendous chiddush here. He says, it concludes in the Zohar that tamirei chachamim who do a mitzvah lishma, and that means to say that they learn Torah from the mitzvah. They learn from the mitzvah, and they hear a way of tshuva from the mitzvah to be close to God. Therefore, their mitzvah becomes Torah, and an aveira can't put out that kind of mitzvah. So if one does a mitzvah without really thinking about it and what it's trying to say to us, that an aveira could extinguish. But if we do a mitzvah and listen to the mitzvah is talking to us, what's the mitzvah trying to say? What do I learn from the mitzvah? That becomes Torah, and the aveira doesn't put that out. It's a powerful concept. Mm-hmm. The difference between doing a mitzvah, you might say, as an act, or that the mitzvah itself takes on the depth of a lesson.
It's a beautiful machshava to have, like, during hard times in learning, too. Because, you know, like I'm learning the Mishnah of Nazir right now. It's very difficult, sort of dry. And so, but to be able to have this thought that it's dry, but that just means the roots are deeper. Okay. You know, that the water's deeper, that the Torah is deeper, you know.
Yes, Misa.
I'm sure what you said is really good. Is there any way you could repeat it and say it a different way?
Yeah. You're talking about the very last thing we said?
Let's say this. That was really good. I'm hoping I really get it someday. I just didn't get it.
Let's say this. I learn a halacha that I'm obligated to put on tefillin.
Right.
I learn what tefillin are.
Got it.
How they're made.
Yeah.
And I put them on.
All the details.
Right. I was behind the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. I get eternal life for that mitzvah.
But it may or may not stick.
Right, I mean, it will. It's going to be there.
Right.
It's going to be
so
there.
So where? What's the
but but an Aveira can somehow disrupt that chiyus. No.
Yes.
However, if I put on tefillin, and I think, what does this mean? What does this box on my arm mean? Why is it made out of leather? Why are these four parshas here?
Okay, so you give a little more depth of thought to not just this is connecting to me, but how is this connecting
that's
me
right.
to other levels?
Right.
Even
so now,
well, but yeah, where I got tripped up is I started thinking about all the mitzvahs that we have no idea what they mean.
You know, that's also a hasoga too, because that's the idea that the Rambam says that to understand that we don't understand is the greatest hasoga of all.
Right, or just to appreciate that we don't
right.
understand.
And that's
right.
also
that's
a hasoga.
Level of
that's a level of understanding too.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, or level of appreciation.
Right.
At the very least.
Right. So if I learn a sefer about what tefillin mean, and they take on that meaning to me, now the mitzvah has taught me Torah. And that mitzvah is Torah now. It's more than just an act. I'm understanding something about Torah from that mitzvah. How it affects me. Oh, this is next to my heart. It affects my emotion. This is next to my head. It affects my intellect.
You're using the word Torah here, though, in a more general context when you say that mitzvah becomes Torah.
Right. It is Torah, you say, because
it's
all
Torah,
part of
Torah.
But I'm learning from it. That's what he wants to say. If I'm learning from...
It's living Torah.
Yeah, I'm not just doing it. I'm learning the depth of the lesson of that mitzvah. Now it has qualities of Torah, learning Torah, and that can't be... That has now become a part of me.
Although you may never know at that point, like, where in the Torah what you just got came from.
Right.
It's living Torah. Okay.
The mitzvah.
I apologize for being so literal and trying to extract
no apology necessary.
I don't know if you chose that example deliberately, Rabbi,
yeah.
but it's such a great example because, first of all, the Torah is actually in the tefillin,
right.
and you actually bind it to your goof. So
and
there's tzedekus.
Tefillin lamanti Torah Hashem b'fifa.
Right. Right. So it's
the mitzvah becomes a teaching.
Right, the mitzvah becomes. Some learn the lashonos in the Torah where it says, "If you listen to my mitzvahs, v'ya'im shamoa tishmu el mitzvosai." That's talking about this.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean abide by them. That's the shot. It means listen to what the mitzvah is teaching. Tishmu el mitzvosai. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that the mitzvah becomes Torah. V'chein ritzono yisvorach shekol mitzvah yihiya nivlal the Torah. It is Hashem's ratzon that every mitzvah becomes mixed up, not in the negative sense. Blended is a good word. Right. Every mitzvah becomes blended with Torah. V'zeh inyan birchas ha-mitzvot. This is a concept of making a bracha on a mitzvah. Shehahefesh bein talmid chacham la'amu oris basiyas ha-mitzvah. Hu b'ha bracha v'retzon asiyasa. The difference between a Talmid Chacham and an Am Haaretz in doing a mitzvah is the bracha. They're both doing the same mitzvah, but the bracha is the appreciation and the retzon of what they're about to do. Kiguf ha-ma'asim shavim, because the act is the same. The tzaddik shakes a lulav, another person shakes a lulav. He likes the menorah, he likes the menorah. Rak ha-bracha hi al hatzivui. The bracha is referring to the command itself, meaning the connection. V'hu devekus ha-mitzvahs b'ha-Torah, shaharei tzivui ha-mitzvahs he-mitzvahs. No, this is what he said. He says, really, where does the command to do the mitzvah come from? It comes from the Torah. The mitzvah is the Torah. So when do you recognize that? When we say, asher ki deshanu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu. When we say that lashon v'tzivanu, you commanded us where? In the Torah. That makes the connection between the doing of the mitzvah and its coming out of the context of Torah. V'habracha mevarer zeh, sh'Hashem yitzbarach sivanu b'Torah kein. The bracha clarifies this, that this is what God commanded us. V'yidei habracha medabek ha-mitzvah b'shorasha b'Torah. And the mitzvah is connected to its source in Torah by means of the bracha. So he said another thing. First of all, we learn Torah from the mitzvah. And that makes the mitzvah like Torah. Secondly, before doing the mitzvah, if we recognize and appreciate its coming out of Torah by saying Vitzivanu, that also connects the mitzvah to Torah as well. Shukala.